Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is October 15, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Watch, Big Four exec says privacy is key to enterprise blockchain adoption. Libra is catalytic event for central banks, says head of Sweden's Riksbank. BNB-based crypto ETP now live on Swiss SIX stock exchange. CipherTrace's blockchain forensics service now covers 700 crypto assets. CoinShares, blockchain launch gold token network on a Bitcoin sidechain. South Korea aims to put trade finance on the blockchain by 2021. UK startup takes billion-dollar tokenization plan stateside. Bitcoin sees little price boost from long-term bull cross. Next Bitcoin halving could squeeze out retail miners, but jury's split on price. Peter Thiel backs $200 million valuation for renewable Bitcoin mining in the US. Now let's get started. Watch, Big Four exec says privacy is key to enterprise blockchain adoption. A senior executive at Big Four auditor Ernst & Young (EY) thinks blockchain will revolutionize commerce if the community can solve its privacy issues. Blockchain is going to be the tool that ties together not just individual companies, but whole business ecosystems and networks, says EY Global Innovation lead Paul Brody. Enterprises will not go onto the public mainnet without privacy and security. In this interview with Christine Kim, Brody discusses a range of privacy solutions, including Nightfall, ICE open source code repository. The protocol integrates zero-knowledge proofs with smart contracts, enabling private transactions on the public Ethereum blockchain. Procurements are one particular use case. Any enterprise that can leverage different pricing models often leaves money on the table when making purchase orders. Nightfall, however, can set up smart contracts without any additional administrative or operational overhead that execute at the best price, Brody argues. Although the basic product remains free on GitHub, Nightfall's transaction costs are still high at around $10. Brody thinks these costs could drop below $1 in the coming year, meaning that Nightfall could eventually be more cost-effective than private, permissioned blockchains. Libra is catalytic event for central banks, says head of Sweden's Riksbank. The Libra cryptocurrency payments project is shaking up central banking, according to the head of Sweden's central bank. Speaking on CNBC's Squawk Box Europe, Riksbank Governor Stefan Ingves said the Facebook-led project has been an incredibly important catalytic event forcing central bankers to reconsider their primary product, money. Ingves said the Riksbank, which is working toward piloting an e-krona in the near future, has had to reconsider its own development in light of private currency alternatives. The development of a new kind of currency is a near unprecedented event, happening only once every few centuries, he added. Part of my job is to produce a good service called the Swedish krona, which is convenient to use for Swedish citizens, and if I am good at that in a technical sense then I don't have a problem, Ingves told CNBC, but if I were to start issuing 20 kilo copper coins the way we did in 1668, then we soon would be out of business. Ingves cautioned, though, that most private sector money initiatives have collapsed sooner or later. The Libra Association gathered in Geneva, Switzerland Monday to sign a formal charter among its now 21 initial members. Last week, multiple money providers such as Visa and MasterCard dropped out of the project after pressure from US lawmakers. BNB-based crypto ETP now live on Swiss SIX stock exchange. Binance's native cryptocurrency will serve as the underlying asset to a new exchange-traded product, ETP. The world's largest crypto exchange by trading volume said Wednesday it has partnered with fintech firm Amen to develop the USD-denominated ETP. Listed on the Switzerland's principal stock exchange SIX under the ticker ABNB, the financial product can be purchased through a bank or brokerage like a stock. Amund CEO Hany Reshwan told CoinDesk the ETP will initially be backed by $20 million worth of Binance coins, BNB, representing nearly a quarter of the firm's total crypto assets under management. Since launching the first crypto-backed ETP in November 2018, Reshwan said Amund's suite of eight crypto ETPs are backed by $75 million in total assets. The regulated ETP provides an avenue for investors to gain exposure to one of the top-performing cryptocurrencies. According to Messari, BNB has a $2.84 billion market capitalization, making it the eighth-largest crypto by that metric. In recent months, daily transaction volume usually top $100 million. BNB is used to pay transaction fees on the exchange and for Binance's development and projects marketing. The exchange completed its initial coin offering (ICO) of 100 million BNB in 2017, raising approximately $15 million. Binance has capped the supply of BNB at 200 million tokens, of which the firm plans to burn half to prevent depreciation. CipherTrace's blockchain forensic service now covers 700 crypto assets. The transactions of over 700 cryptocurrencies are now searchable via the blockchain analytics offering from CipherTrace. That means more than 87% of the top 100 cryptocurrencies by volume can now be traced through the API service, the company said Tuesday. Backed by notable firms like Galaxy Digital, CipherTrace has most recently been involved in the push towards addressing regulatory guidance issued by the Financial Action Task Force in June. With some 522 million data attribution points, CipherTrace says its platform is uniquely situated to tackle real-world applications like terrorist financing. Until now, large swaths of the cryptocurrency ecosystem have remained opaque to AML and CTF monitoring, CipherTrace CEO Dave Jeevans said in a statement. Providing a view into this data is vital for the future of the industry, Jeevans argued, saying, only by helping virtual asset service providers rid their networks of criminals and terrorists will the industry achieve the level of trust required for widespread adoption and government acceptance. With the update, the complete financial transaction histories of top cryptocurrencies by market cap such as Ethereum, Litecoin, and Bitcoin Cash have become available. Support for ERC-20 tokens and smart contracts has also been added, including transaction and counterparty information, CipherTrace said. Through features such as transaction alerts for flagged accounts, CipherTrace is marketing its product to government and law enforcement agencies, as well as crypto and blockchain firms that seek to align with increasingly tough international rules. CoinShares, blockchain launch gold token network on a Bitcoin sidechain. Digital asset manager CoinShares is putting gold on the Bitcoin blockchain. Working with wallet provider blockchain and precious metal trader MKS Switzerland SAW, the UK-based firm announced Tuesday a gold-backed network for trading tokens representing digitized physical gold, a project 2 years in the making. According to CoinShares, the network launches today with more than $20 million in gold held in a Swiss vault to back up its tokens. Each DGLD token is backed by 1/10 troy ounce. CoinShares chairman Danny Masters said the product's network security is based on the Bitcoin state, with DGLD operating as a sidechain of the Bitcoin network. DGLD combines the stability of the world's most enduring asset, gold, with the security of the world's most resilient network, Bitcoin, Masters said in a statement. Built on blockchain firm CommerceBlock's Ocean sidechain platform, the DGLD network is notable in that it combines financial security, the Bitcoin network's immutability and Swiss vault storage while still facilitating low-friction trading, said Masters. He continued, "You can now have the peace of mind of Swiss vaulted physical gold, with the same convenience, but not the same layers of middlemen, as owning a gold ETF." CoinShares says the product is available for both retail and institutional investors and will be available in over 200 countries on blockchain's cryptocurrency exchange, the PIT. South Korea aims to put trade finance on the blockchain by 2021. Trade finance in Korea is headed to the blockchain according to a CoinDesk Korea story and other local press reports. The transition could be completed by 2021, while foreign exchange transactions are set to be conducted using the technology within months. In terms of trade finance, relevant documents will be shared on the blockchain so they can be accessed by financial institutions, while export bonds will be made available in the same way so that banks can check for duplicate issuings. These efforts are key elements in the country's development plan for digital trade, which was introduced by Finance Minister Hong Nam-ki on October 14. Under the plan, blockchain, along with 5G and AI, will be utilized to transform the trade environment and strengthen exports. We will build a digital trading platform that can be easily and conveniently used in all stages of export, such as contracts, customs and logistics, Hong said. A digital trade blockchain council will be assembled, with a membership including banks, banking associations, trade associations, and the Korea Trade Network, KTNet, which specializes in the automation of trade processes. The document also mentions that one of the goals of the initiative is to promote blockchain-based foreign exchange transactions. It sets a target of bringing together 7 banks by December 2019 to establish the service. Another element of the plan that will utilize blockchain is the U-Trade Hub 2.0, UHT 2.0, initiative. It will use the technology to bring together information on exports, foreign investment and international projects, which will be made available to companies wishing to build up their overseas presences. Blockchain in trade finance is an area of intense interest globally, and considerable progress appears to have been achieved already. Voltron has brought together some of the world's largest financial institutions. China Construction Bank is claiming that it is already processing huge volumes on its blockchain trade finance platform, while UBS took WeTrade live earlier this month. In Korea, HSBC earlier this year said it was looking for local banks as partners in developing its blockchain trade finance efforts. UK startup takes $1 billion tokenization plan stateside. Smartlands is betting on a $1 billion tokenization vision with a new broker-dealer partnership to make it happen. The British digital tokenization firm is now working with IIP Securities, an international banking consultancy based in New York, as it prepares to bring its security token crowdfunding model stateside. The alliance provides Smartlands access to IIP Securities' broker-dealer license, a critical element for complying with U.S. regulatory framework and one that has proven difficult, but not impossible, for digital asset firms to win on their own. With the license secured, Smartlands CEO Ilya Obristov told CoinDesk that his firm will keep building out its global tokenized investments platform on the Stellar network. Our goal is to tokenize $1 billion in assets by 2024. Obristov said. On this road, the United States is the next step. For asset holders interested in fractionalized ownership, Smartlands UK efforts may provide a roadmap. In June, the company launched one of Britain's early real estate tokenization projects, crowdfunding about $1 million for a student housing complex. That listing is projected to yield investors about 15% annually. Obristov said modest returns on low-risk assets will continue to be Smartland's target as it moves beyond real estate. Green energy, commodities and late-stage startups are all being considered, Obristov said. Smartlands had already been working under UK regulators' approval, and its partnership with IIP Securities only clears one barrier to US entry. Both firms will gin up on local regulatory framework in the coming months. They intend to launch in the US in spring 2020. Crowded playing field. Smartlands wants to build a one-stop shop for security token issuance, marketing and exchange in the US, Obristov said. Many other companies want to do the same. In the past year, a handful of high-profile crypto-focused firms have moved towards securing broker-dealer licensing, including the Winklevoss-controlled Gemini Exchange and Harbor, which recently gained regulator approval. Harbor securing a broker-dealer license was a huge step forward for the security token landscape, Obristov said. He welcomes the competition. We think property rights market is really huge, in the hundreds of trillions. There is room for everybody. Smartlands developers mostly work out of Vilnius, Lithuania, and Kiev, Ukraine, where IIP's holding company is also headquartered. Galina Danilenko, PR lead for Smartlands, said the company would build out a New York team soon. Bitcoin sees little price boost from long-term bull cross. View: Bitcoin continues to trade flat despite a bullish crossover of the 100 and 200 period moving averages on the 3-day chart, a lagging indicator. BTC may lack clear directional bias for the next few weeks, historical data indicates. Daily and 4-hour charts continue to call a drop to recent lows below $7,800. A break above the 200-day moving average at $8,739 is needed to invalidate the bearish case. A long-term Bitcoin chart indicator has turned bullish for the first time in 3 years. The bullish crossover sees the 100 period price average cross above the 200 period average on the 3-day chart. The last time the chart event occurred was in March 2016. So far, however, the crossover has failed to buoy prices, leaving the cryptocurrency in the bearish territory below the widely followed 200-day moving average (MA), a barometer of the long-term trend. That key hurdle is currently located at $8,739, according to Bitstamp data. At press time, Bitcoin is changing hands at $8,310, representing a 0.1% loss on the day. It's worth noting that MA crossovers are based on historical data and tend to lag price. As such, they usually work as contrary indicators. Moreover, crossovers between the longer duration MAs are the product of price rallies. As a result, more often than not, the market is overbought by the time crossover happens and the confirmation is followed by a pullback. Hence, Bitcoin's lack of response to the latest bullish cross is not surprising. Further, Bitcoin remained flatlined for months following the March 2016 bull cross of the same MAs, as seen in the chart below. The 50 and 100 period MAs produced a bullish crossover in the last week of March 2016. Bitcoin had entered a consolidation phase in the days leading up to the bull cross and remained flatlined around $420 until witnessing a convincing upside move above $500 in the last week of May. If history is any guide, BTC may continue to trade in a sideways manner around $8,000 over the next few weeks before resuming the bull run from April's low near $4,000. For the short term, there's scope for a retest of recent lows near $7,750. Bitcoin has been largely restricted to a narrow range of $8,250-$8,450 since October 11. The consolidation is preceded by a rising channel breakdown, a bearish setup. Further, Bitcoin faced strong rejection above $8,800 on October 11 and fell back below $8,500, invalidating the double bottom bullish reversal pattern confirmed on October 9. A double bottom is a bullish reversal pattern whose success rate is high when it appears after a notable price drop, which was the case here. Even so, the breakout failed, indicating that bearish sentiment is still quite strong. Hence, the ongoing consolidation is likely to end with a downside move. Bitcoin created a big bearish engulfing candle on October 11, torpedoing the recovery rally and shifting risk in favor of a drop to lows below $7,800. With the cryptocurrency trading well below $8,820 October 11 high, the bearish candle is still valid. Also, prices remain trapped below the 200-day MA, which has consistently capped upside since September 27. Notably, the cryptocurrency has struggled to gather upside traction in the last few days, despite the bullish divergence of the relative strength index, again a sign of bearish market conditions. A bullish divergence occurs when the indicator charts higher lows, contradicting lower highs on price, and is considered a strong trend reversal indicator. BTC, therefore, risks revisiting recent lows near $7,750 in the short term. A violation there would imply a resumption of the sell-off from the September highs above $10,000 and open the doors for $7,200. The bearish case would weaken if and when prices rise above the key MA, currently at $8,739. Next Bitcoin halving could squeeze out retail miners, but jury's split on price. Is the next halving going to send Bitcoin to the moon? Well, maybe not that fast. As the programmed reduction of the miner's reward is approaching, expected to happen in May next year, people are disagreeing about its probable effects. Bitcoin has gone through the halving two times before, in November 2012 and July 2016, and both times the events marked the beginning of the next bull market. But, it's an open question if the halving brings an uptrend and if so, how strong that uptrend will be. Miners took the stage to debate the issue last week at the recent World Digital Mining Summit in Frankfurt organized by Bitmain, the Chinese equipment manufacturer and pool owner. Price effects. Jihan Wu, co-founder and ex-CEO of Bitmain, is pessimistic about the prospect of a price surge after the halving. He suggested that the first two uptrends might have been catching up with the bubble and bust cycle phases at the time. Further, he pointed to halving of Litecoin in August, which sent the price not surging but plunging. The token's value shot from $31 to $135 in the first half of the year, but then started falling in July, right before the halving. It's now trading around $57. Wu said, "Maybe people speculate too much before the halving, and then you can't sell the good news anymore. Maybe, this time a bullish cycle is not coming yet." Offstage, Wu told CoinDesk that the bump projected from the halving might be baked in because people have started to bet on the price growth in advance. During the first and second halving, people didn't know what to expect, and during the second halving, the scaling debate complicated the situation. Now people are expecting it. But Matthew Roshek, chairman of the blockchain software company BLOQ, saw things differently. He said that the maturity of the financial ecosystem around Bitcoin spoke to it maintaining a higher price over time. There is a better footing for the Fidelities, Bacts and other household names entering the space, Roshek said, adding that the buzz around Facebook's Libra is also attracting new interest and new participants into the industry. All the demand from institutional investors is still crescendoing forward. Custody platforms, insurance, compliance, regulatory is all getting written and this is positive for Bitcoin. Roshek expects the price to reach somewhere between $15,000 and $100,000 and for the halving to kick off a decade plus of rising. The purge and the consolidation. Whoever is right about the halving's impact, the event is important for miners worldwide. With the reward being reduced, profitability will also be cut, at least in the short term, so old versions of specialized mining machines, known as ASICs, will stop bringing their owners any profit. The Antminer S9, the most popular ASIC model manufactured by Bitmain, has exhausted its productivity limit and a lot of miners are running on a margin of profit, Marco Strang, CEO of Genesis Mining, said on stage. The S9 and Canaan Creative's Avalon A851 series, with a similar level of hashing power, are some of the most widely used mining equipment right now. Based on the mining pool F2 pools index, these older models have a profit margin of 50% at Bitcoin's current price. Replacing them with the new machines will help, the panel agreed, but Wu cautioned against miners buying as many machines as possible. If I were a mining rig investor, I would be more conservative, but I would keep investing. Bitmain released the new Antminer S17 in September and, starting on Friday, will also be selling the more dynamic S17 Plus version. Keeping it profitable. Strang, of Genesis Mining, says less hardware in circulation will serve the industry well in the long run. We are going towards a really heavy industry with much longer life cycles of the machines. It's a very brutal event. Most inefficient miners will be wiped out. But it's driving the innovation, Strang told CoinDesk, adding, "It's a psychological event, and there is a tendency for the price to increase. From my experience, a lot of miners are expecting the price to go up, so they reduce selling and weaken the selling pressure of the market." According to Strang, the main effect of the halving will be wiping out of individual small miners, which now account for less than 20% of the market. Alexander Gavrik, a co-founder of the mining software company Umaners, said the market is getting less volatile as the main players are becoming larger and larger. The market is moving towards the industrial mining, and there won't be hype like it used to be anymore. There are significantly less crypto enthusiasts on the market now. Peter Thiel backs $200 million valuation for renewable Bitcoin mining in the U.S. One company is driving its business plan straight into the Bitcoin wastes too much energy argument and has raised $30 million to do so. That's according to Layer 1 co-founder and CEO Alexander Legal, which plans to bring wind-powered Bitcoin mining rigs to West Texas early next year. The company is raising a total of $50 million at a $200 million valuation, he said. The idea of Bitcoin crowding out other uses for clean energy reflects a misunderstanding of the market, Legal explained in a phone call. Renewable energy is still primarily underutilized, so you don't actually have a zero-sum game. The company has so far raised funds for its Series A from Peter Thiel, Shasta Ventures and other cryptocurrency investors that it has declined to disclose. This round follows a previous $2.1 million seed round that also included Thiel, as well as the Digital Currency Group. Further, Legal questioned the whole premise that the use of electricity to power the Bitcoin network is a waste. Bitcoin is the only thing we believe in, and that's what we think can lead to disrupting the financial system, he said, adding, "We think electricity directed to the Bitcoin mining network is certainly a net positive for society." The company is vertically integrated, in that it plans to run its own Bitcoin mining facilities in the United States, using mining rigs that the company designed and built in-house and running its own power procurement. "We actually own electricity substations and land property in Texas already," Legal explained. "We own everything up to our own power plant, but I can tell you that is certainly on the agenda." The company has co-founders with prior expertise in hardware and mining, such that they believe they can execute a sophisticated strategy that makes mining in the U.S. profitable again. "The last 7 years we think of as mining 1.0, Legal said, with firms doing little more than racing to deploy the most capital. He added, "Going forward, the market is shifting to a game of operational expenses. Don't mess with Texas. Texas has a major advantage as a cryptocurrency mining location, with energy prices among the very lowest in the nation, particularly for industrial electricity, according to the U.S. Energy Information Agency. I love the place. It's so private market friendly," Legal said. "Bitcoin mining is pretty compelling to people out there because it's pretty analogous to how oil and gas works." Further, 16% of power in Texas comes from wind, according to the Department of Energy. Over 25,000 megawatts have been built, with almost 8,000 currently under construction. While Legal acknowledges that any operation like his will need a backup power supply for times when wind is not strong enough, the company still expects to deliver a very high proportion of its hash rate via renewable electricity. "The problem for Texas," Legal explained, "is cooling the miners. Air-cooled miners in Texas would burn up," he explained, "so they had to devise a way to liquid-cool the miners. That's what Layer 1 has created with its proprietary mining equipment, each unit of which runs on 2 megawatts of power. The first facility will be set up in an open area about 90 minutes west of Midland, Texas." How big is enough? The United States hash rate share is currently below 5%, Legal said. "Our goal is to bump that up to at least over 15%. As the company notes in an announcement shared with CoinDesk in advance, 60% of Bitcoin's hash rate and all of its hardware production is in China. The announcement describes the scale of Layer 1's ambition. "With this funding, we are positioned to own the whole Bitcoin mining stack by designing, producing, and operating our entire mining infrastructure, including proprietary ASIC chips, liquid-cooled mining containers and power procurement and development." By securing a large amount of funding early, Jacob Mullins of Shasta Ventures said that Layer 1 can pursue a more ambitious vision than most startups could, pursuing unit economics that make it attractive as a long-term investment. Further, he believes that as a producer of Bitcoin in the U.S., taking a pro-regulator approach, Layer 1 will have an advantage when domestic institutions finally move into Bitcoin. "I think that's another bold way of going at the market, and I think over time will create a moat of quality for the business," Mullins said. "Of course, to meet institutional demand if it ever comes will take a lot of Bitcoin. There's no question that Layer 1 is going for scale and quickly, but Ligel declined to disclose expected wattage used in 2020, though he said he expected it to be many hundreds of megawatts. He added, "Going forward to 2021, we're talking gigawatts." This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.